Well, it has begun. And it begins in such a beautiful way. These 3 days are so symbolic. I hope you don't miss the depth of all three. I hope you make it to all three. Because it's all one big mass. Did you know that? It starts tonight. There is no final blessing. It goes all the way through tomorrow. We don't celebrate Mass on Good Friday. And then it doesn't conclude until after the Easter Vigil. So it's a three-day Mass. So if you thought Mass was long before, like, this is the mother of all Masses. Like, this is a really long one. But it begins, and as it begins, it moves through different things. And it begins with the Eucharist and the priesthood. Maybe arguably the two most necessary things for the Catholic faith. The two go hand in hand. You can't have one without the other. They're inseparable. And yet, what I was thinking about as I was praying over this, we have this pure and spotless gift of Jesus in the Eucharist. And it comes to you and me through these broken, sinful, weak hands. How incredible God is. How much He must love us to come to us that way. My dear brothers and sisters, despite my weaknesses and failures, and I know there are many, I love being a priest. It's better than that. I love this parish. I love the parishioners. I love the school. I love presiding at the funerals of your loved ones and helping you grieve and move through that process. I love baptizing your children, witnessing your marriages, celebrating the Mass, and hearing confessions. It's a lot some days, but we all have a lot some days. But we're still called to serve and to love and to lay down our lives. It's not just a call to the priesthood, it's a call to Christianity. But I'm going to let you in on a little secret. For a priest, sometimes we experience things differently than you do. Like the experience of a wedding reception, for example. It's very different for us than it is for you. Everybody loves a good wedding, right? There's good food. Well, there's decent food. Well, the food is okay. I mean, if we're honest, everybody's jealous of the kids' chicken strips and fries, right? But there's good music, there's dancing. We get to see a lot of family and friends that we haven't seen for a while. And everybody's two favorite words, open bar. But for me, things are different. First, I come alone. You should be worried if I come with a date. I love to dance. But if I dance, half of the congregation at the reception thinks it's cool. And the other half is terribly scandalized, so I don't dance anymore. We usually only know the bride and groom at most weddings because that's the only people we've worked with. So when it comes to seating, we priests are almost always seated at a reserved table to what I call God's treasures. Your long-lost uncle, your aunt that can't hear, your only friend in law school, and your creepy cousin with a weird mustache. That's where I sit. But nothing compares to the last bit. Because the open bar is a similar experience for everyone in attendance. But almost always, I go to grab a drink. And somebody who's had a few too many already stumbles up to me and says, "Hey, Father, I really enjoyed your Mass. You know, I used to be Catholic. And you want to know what's wrong with the church?" No! Not from you. I already know. And I know more than you know. Disregard the 2,000-year tradition we have of saints and theologians telling us what's wrong with the church. I don't need you, who have had too many drinks and think that this is a good time to bring this up. And quite honestly, you guys, I think it's kind of just a problem with our society. Because this guy thinks like a lot of people do. I'm sure he thinks he has some pretty deep thoughts after a few bourbons and thinks it's the right time to share them. But the symptom of our time is we think that we get to decide what's right and wrong. We think that it's up to us to just figure out our life. Be yourself. The problem, of course, is that you and I don't have a clue about what life is all about. That's why we often get into trouble. Seems at this point in our culture that it is all about having a good time. Pleasure. Pleasure is the god. It's the golden calf that everybody's worshiping right now. Love is love. Do whatever you want. And as fun as it is to choose your own adventure in this life, and easy as it is to tear down the church and other people, some individual's testimony over a couple drinks or his theories of life just don't seem that reliable to me. But tonight we remember that as Catholics, we don't rely on ideas of God. We don't rely on people to tell us about God. We don't rely on the holiness of people. We don't base our lives on some myth or story that we've made up to feel good about ourselves. We base our lives on something concrete and real, based on thousands of years of tradition. It's not made up. In fact, it has been going on in human history since the beginning of time. It's not abstract. We can see it. We can feel it. We can touch it. We don't believe in a God who's distant and abstract. No, he's here with us. He became one of us to be with us. And he loves us so much that he left us himself so that we could always be close to him and know his presence with us no matter what we're in or where what we're going through. You know, tonight we celebrate what we call the new and everlasting covenant. The Eucharist was Jesus's covenant with humanity. And we talk a lot about covenants all the time in the church, but I think few people really understand the immense implications of a covenant. Covenants are forever. If a covenant is made, you don't just get to revoke it just because somebody messes up. You're in it forever. There are three characteristics of a covenant. I don't know if you know this. First, you swear an oath. Then you perform a sacrifice. Then a meal is shared. And this sacred rite brings you then into relationship with God. That's the point of covenants. And we see them all over the Bible. Adam, Noah, Moses, Abraham, King David, Jesus himself. There was always an oath, a sacrifice, and a meal. So first, what is an oath? An oath is not a promise, you guys. A promise is made in my name, and it's good. But it's not that binding, because I'm weak and sinful. Then there's a vow. A vow is a promise you make to God, which I'm sure many of us have made those and broken those as well. But an oath is when you and I make a promise in God's name. In God's name, I promise to do something. I bind myself to God by a sacred act. Once I do that, then I offer a sacrifice. And the sacrifice, especially in the Old Testament, were always, always, always moving towards freedom. That was the point of the sacrifices of the Old Testament. Think of the Israelites in the first reading about the Passover. What was the point of the Passover? There was an oath. God said, take a lamb in my name, sacrifice it. And then what? Eat it. And spread the blood on the doorpost so that the blood, the flesh you eat, the blood would mark your house and protect you. There is an oath, a sacrifice, and a meal. And what does it do? It leads them to freedom. Out of Egypt, out of slavery, into the promised land. Now, Jesus is referred to by John the Baptist as the Lamb of God. Remember that? At one point, he just shouts out, he's like, that's the Lamb! And the apostles begin to follow him. And at the Last Supper, he says, this bread, this unleavened bread of the Passover meal, it is now my flesh. And this wine they used to share in the Passover meal, it's my blood. And it's the blood of the new covenant, the everlasting covenant, the eternal covenant. And the new lamb is then sacrificed on the cross. And we, through that, are brought into communion with God. We are made part of his family. And the blood no longer marks the doorpost of homes. The blood marks the temple of your body. And you are brought into God's family. This is not something that's just a place we come on Sunday. This is a sacrifice. And it's meant to set you free. At every single Mass, how do we begin the Mass? Tell me. Yeah. What do we say? In the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. What are we doing? We're doing this covenant in God's name. The whole Mass starts with it. It's an oath. And then what? And then we hear about God working throughout salvation history. And then we move to an altar. An altar is used for what? Sacrifice. And then we share a meal. And we eat the lamb of sacrifice. And we're brought into communion with each other. We are a family. The Mass is here for you. It's God's gift to you. When you're struggling, you can come here and listen to the Word, which gives us hope that there is goodness in this world, that God is active in this world. When things are hard to believe, when you're lost and hungering for meaning that the world can't give to you, when you feel unloved, distraught, we come here to encounter the one who is love, who laid down his life for us. Tonight, then, we recommit ourselves to the priesthood and the Eucharist. And I beg you, don't lose sight of the humanity of the priest, knowing that we, like you, face struggles every day. But in that, we also realize all the more the beauty of what God is capable of accomplishing through us, as broken as we are. My dear people, nobody, and I mean nobody in this church, is more aware of how badly they conform to Jesus than myself. I always joke that I get paid to be a Christian, and I stink at it. We're all, as G.K. Chesterton said, we're all in a boat, and we're all seasick. I, for some reason, have just been chosen to lead. And the truth is, you guys, we priests simply cannot do what we are asked to do without you. Without your love, your prayer, without grace from Almighty God. And trust me, we are praying for you as well. And so tonight, let us forget all the big ideas of these fools in the world that they use to deter us from our mission, and place our trust again in the Father of Mercies, who gives us the true bread from heaven that satisfies our deepest longings. Tonight, yet again, we enter into the eternal covenant with hearts made new.